Welcome to the January 19th sermon from Clifford Baptist Church, 635 Fletcher's Level Road in Amherst. Today's scripture is Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 28, and the sermon is entitled Warning and Wisdom, delivered today by Pastor Michael Fitzgerald.
Today is a great day in God's house. I want you to take your Bible. I want you to turn with me to the book of Colossians in your New Testament. We are moving through a series of sermons through four books of the Bible. The GE Power Company series, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and now Colossians. This is the fourth book. This is an interesting letter in the writings of Paul. He personally knew most of the churches and most of the individuals to whom he wrote, as we see his letters in the New Testament. However, the church at Colossae, he did not know. He had never visited there. He didn't know these Christians. He did know one church member. His name was Epaphras, may have been the pastor of that church. But Epaphras had come from Colossae to Paul's jail cell in Rome, about a 1,000-mile trip, to talk to Paul about problems that his church in Colossae was having. The problem basically was that false teachers had crept into the church and had led these baby Christians out into untruth. And so this letter, this epistle that Paul writes, is sent to the church at Colossae to bring them back on track as a Bible-believing, gospel-based church standing on the truth of Jesus Christ. Now, as we open Colossians, we get to chapter 1. We're going to complete chapter 1 today. Very briefly, let me give you an outline of chapter 1. Verses 1 through 14 are Paul's introduction to the church. He is introducing himself to a church who does not know him. After that introduction, he tells them that he is proud of them. He is grateful for their ministry that they have in the city of Colossae. But once we get through verse 14, the rest of the chapter describes three people. In verses 15 through 20 of chapter 1 is Paul's description of Jesus. He is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the world. And so Paul describes Jesus to the Colossian church members. The second person he describes us. In verses 21 through 24, before we came to the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul says, we were enemies of the cross, enemies of God, because of our rebellious ways, standing before the holiness of God in the way that we lived. However, rather than God wiping out his enemies, he came and bore the cross to save us. God himself laid down his life that we might be forgiven as enemies, that we might be sons and daughters of God. So rather than wipe us away as enemies, the Lord Jesus Christ came to bear the cross that we might be forgiven, sons and daughters. So Paul describes Jesus, then he describes you and me. Thirdly, then, toward the end of the chapter, Paul describes himself. And that's what we're going to study today. Look at Colossians chapter 1, go to verse 25, and we're going to go to the end of the chapter. Hear these words as Paul describes himself to the Colossian church. Chapter 1, verse 25. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we might present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. May God add his blessing to the reading of this portion of his holy word as Paul describes himself to the church he does not know, the church of Colossae. Now, going back to verse 25, Paul describes his specific calling by God. Look again at verse 25. Paul says, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Now, Paul says, Jesus saw fit to make me a minister according to his dispensation, a word that we don't use very much anymore. Basically, he's saying, God commissioned me. God commissioned me, called me to be a pastor and a gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, Paul was saying, I didn't just wake up one morning and say this. Okay, today I am saved. I have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, so what am I going to do with my life? Well, maybe I'll be a farmer. Or maybe I'll open a store. Or maybe I'll plant a vineyard. Maybe I'll till the ground as a farmer. No, I think I'll go into ministry. I think I'm supposed to go into ministry. Paul says that my calling did not happen like that. He said, I didn't decide to be a minister. I didn't decide to be a missionary. But rather, God called me. God commissioned me to this task and to giving my life to Him in this way. It wasn't my decision. It was His decision for me, and He commissioned me. He called me into this ministry of service of the church. Friends, I believe that is still true today. I am a personal witness to that truth. God called me to be a pastor and a preacher when I was in sixth grade. I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that that was going to be my life. My dad about lost his teeth when he heard me say, I'm going to be a preacher. In sixth grade, that was just God's calling. God laid it upon my heart, and I knew it even that early on in life. Can a grade schooler figure that out? I don't think so. I believe that is by direct application of the hand of God on my life and on my mind when I was in sixth grade that that was going to be what He would call me to do. The ministry of the church is not a profession we choose, but the ministry of the church and the ministry of the Word is a calling that we follow. Does that make sense? It's not something you choose. It's something we follow as God lays His call on our hearts. Now, listen, believers, don't make that box too small. Calling is not just for preachers, but rather God issues a calling and a commission to every believer's heart and every believer's life. Every believer, every one of us is called to follow Him and serve Him and be a minister for Him in some specific way. He has given you a set of talents and gifts by which you are to serve Him. And when you said yes to Him as your Lord and your Savior, that enacted those talents to be applied in His ministry, and He's going to call you to use those talents in the way that He calls you to do that. Every believer is called. There are no exclusions. There are no excuses. All of us, in some way or other, are called to serve our Savior. Today, my question to you is this. Do you know what your commission is? Do you know what your calling is in the way that you're to minister for Him? I'm not here to make you feel guilty. I'm here simply to say God has a calling for your life. Fall on your knees before Him and say, Lord God, how am I supposed to use my talents and my life to serve You, to call others to the kingdom of Jesus Christ? Wherever God calls you to serve, God's going to let you know that. It may be in this local church, in this local community. We reach out with the gospel of Jesus Christ to our family and to our friends and to the circle who surrounds us here locally. He might call you somewhere else in the United States. He might call you somewhere else in the world. And we have representatives from this very congregation who are in other locations of the world because they followed that calling. We're called to different places, some local, some farther out, some halfway around the world. We're called to follow Him, but we represent the same Lord and we represent the same message wherever He calls us to go. We're representing Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. All believers have the same purpose. Look at the last words of verse 25. Chapter 1, verse 25. Paul said, He's given a calling to me for you to fulfill the word of God. So Paul is saying here, God called me to fulfill His word to you, Colossian church. This letter is part of my calling. I'm reaching out to you to make His word fully known. That's still our calling. However He calls you to serve Him, we are to commission to go into the world and to share that good news of Jesus Christ. However He gives you talent to do that. Look at verses 26 and 27. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to His saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, these verses are not easy, but they contain a great truth that you need to hear. You see the word twice in these two verses, the word mystery. The Greek word is mysterion. Some translations use the word secret instead of mystery here. But I want you to think of it this way. When you watch a TV program where there's a crime committed and all that hour is dedicated to figuring out who did the crime, you know, our minds are working about who did that crime. We're trying to figure it out as the TV show goes through. If you're reading a mystery novel, you're always trying to figure out the plot before you get to the end of the book. We're always applying our mind to figure it out. But in the Bible, the word mystery means something that God knows that you and I will never figure out. A mystery is a truth of God that only God can reveal to us. We will never know it. We will never understand it. We will never figure it out. God himself has to reveal that truth to us. That's his mystery. As a student of God's word, you know that all the Bible revolves around Jesus Christ. From the beginning of Genesis to the end of Revelation, all of the Bible revolves around the life of Jesus. And in the Old Testament, the people of Israel are promised that a Messiah is going to come. Remember in Isaiah, "For unto you a son is born, unto you a child is given, a child is born, a son is given, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name shall be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." So in the Old Testament, we see the prophecy of a Savior that is going to come. But as the Old Testament closes, the prophecy is still standing. The Savior has not come yet. The Old Testament closes, 400 years pass by. When the New Testament opens, we see the birth of Jesus Christ, the Savior coming into the world. So as the New Testament opens, we see that Savior, the Son of God. He lived some 33 years, a perfect, blemishless life as the Son of God. Human being, 100%. But he does something that no other human being has done before or since, and that's lived an absolutely sinless life, the Son of God. And then all of history culminates at the cross and at the empty tomb as Jesus gives his life for the sin of the world to forgive us, rises from the grave to promise us eternal life. Jesus dies for us, resurrected for our conquering of the grave. Now here's God's secret and here's God's mystery as Paul is talking about it here. Jesus Christ, the Savior, would establish an organization that would carry his good news around the world. That organization is a living organism called the church. You will never see the word church in the Old Testament. It was a mystery to the Old Testament prophet. The Old Testament gives us no indication that the church is coming. It does say a Savior is coming, but it doesn't give an indication about the church. So Paul says, God has revealed to us, and remember he's writing in the first century now, right after the birth of the church. He said, God has revealed to us this mystery that the church is going to carry the gospel around the world, not just to Jews, but to all people. The gospel is for every single living soul. That's the mystery of God revealed to us, that every person should hear the gospel of the living Lord Jesus Christ, and it will be carried out through the ministry of the church. Church in Colossae, you are important. God is using you to take the gospel to your city. Church in Clifford, we are important to the ministry of the living Lord Jesus Christ as we carry the gospel to this community and around the world. That's God's purpose. That's God's usage of the church. Paul said it was a mystery in the Old Testament, but now we understand. Look at the last words of verse 27. Here's the church's message. Jesus is the hope of glory to every single individual on earth. It does not matter their nation. It does not matter their color. It does not matter if they're male or female, rich or poor, slave or free. Jesus Christ should be carried to every single person. He is the hope of glory to everyone. Okay, take a breath here. That's heavy theology, isn't it? The mystery revealed to us. We continue to take the gospel to the world. Now, this is the meat of theology 101. It's not easy. It challenges our mind. But this is the Word of God, and we must understand it. Amen? It's how the Old Testament and the New Testament fit together as God's Word, as we see the church created and the church commissioned to take the gospel to the world. So as we look at these words, we take the last step of this scripture today when Paul tells us exactly what the church is about. If the Lord Jesus created us, if the Lord Jesus empowers us, if the Lord Jesus commissions you and me to be a part of His church and a part of His ministry, what are we to do? What is our job description? Paul gives it to us in these verses. Look at verse 28. Here's what the church does. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. There is the job description of the church. I love this verse because it says we preach Jesus Christ alone. We preach Him as Savior. We preach this holy, trustworthy, blemishless, perfect Word, infallible in the way God gave it to us. And as we preach and center on Jesus Christ, the church is going to do two things in our job description. Are you ready? Here's the job description encased in 2 points for the church to do. First of all, Paul says, we are to be warning every man. What are we warning of? We warn people that without Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, they will face hell. They will face loneliness. They will face an eternal future that does not have Christ in it. So Paul says we preach warning. We warn the world that if you continue to walk away from the Savior, you're going to face hell. Now, you know, I believe that the church has largely, across our nation, lost its ministry of warning. Hell is used very little in the American pulpit. Why is that? Well, a lot of churches and a lot of pastors believe that if we use the word hell too much in our church, it's going to turn people away. If we use that word and we talk about the fact that the lost will be going to hell, people don't want to hear that. People may not come if we talk about hell. But the Bible says that one of our main purposes in existence as the church is to warn the world that without Christ, you face hell. Do we still need to preach that? Absolutely so. We must preach, we must warn that hell is absolutely a reality. And without the grace of God, that's where people will spend their eternity. How sad, but how true, and how needed that this main aspect of the church must be carried out, that we are a word of warning to the world. You know, I believe that those of us who are believers, we're assured we're going to be in heaven. And I don't know if we will hear a word out of hell when we're in heaven. But if we do, I believe the one statement that we will hear out of hell is this: why didn't you warn me? Why didn't you tell me? You remember, I believe it's a true account of Lazarus and the rich man. Lazarus in the bosom of Abraham, the rich man in Hades. And the rich man says, will you please send Lazarus out and tell my brothers, warn my brothers, they don't want to be here where I am. If we hear a word out of hell, it will be, why didn't you warn me? It is part of the ministry of the church, as defined here in God's Word. Then here's the other half of our ministry. We teach the way to Jesus Christ. We warn of hell, but we open the way for forgiveness. We open the way for eternal life. We open the way to be forgiven in that Savior. We teach the way to Jesus. We give the invitation to forgiveness Friends, you know, after all these years in this church, when we close a worship service, an invitation will be given. It needs to be given. I believe that an invitation needs to be given in every funeral. I believe an invitation can somehow be worked into every wedding. But anytime we have a group of people, I believe somehow, some way, an invitation to Jesus needs to come. Because there's someone there who needs to hear it. So we warn about walking away from Christ, but we invite to bring them to Him. That's why we're here today. In fact, Paul says that the goal of our church, when we meet Jesus face to face, he said, we want to bring a harvest of souls and say, these folks came to Jesus through our ministry. We bring you this harvest. This is the fruit of our ministry. The fruit of our ministry is not building buildings. It's not raising money. But rather, the fruit of our ministry are the people who come to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. The fruit of our ministry are the believers who are growing in the Word and growing in ministry and as ministers every day. Paul, in verse 29, says, that's my labor. That's what I work for. That's what I live for. And I want God to work through me mightily. Friends, 2,000 years later, we want the Lord to work through this little country church mightily, miraculously, because God has not changed. If He could use Paul in a mighty way, He can use us in a mighty way. We need to be surrendered to that, saying, God, however You call us, however You send us, we want to surrender to You. Use us miraculously and mighty. So here's the question, Christians. Will we accept that call? Will we today say, Lord God, however You choose to use me, I pray You will commission me to the ministry that You've given to me to do, and I will do it. And as we gather as a church full of those who are commissioned to ministry, He will carry us forward in a miraculous, wonderful way to call the lost to Him, that we might bring a harvest of souls to Him in that last day. We need every single believer engaged and involved in ministry. We need every person be sent by God, however He calls you, that we might call the world to Jesus. You know, we're here to warn the world about hell. And we're here to love the world to Jesus. That's why we're here. You know, that's our church's job. Please, please do what God calls you to do within the ministry of the church. You know, I believe this. My job is not to scare people out of hell. My job in the church is to warn people about hell and love them into the kingdom of God through Jesus Christ. That's your job too. As we walk in the world, we do issue warning, but we love people into the kingdom. We are witnesses in our own lives to bring them to the kingdom. My prayer is that as you and I walk into the world, we're like human magnets that draw people to want what we have. That we have the gospel, we have the Savior living in our heart. And as we simply walk in the world, that we will be a human magnet to draw others to want what lights up our life. What causes us to be different, which affects our attitude in this world. We are magnets to draw people to the living Lord Jesus Christ. My prayer is that the Lord will mightily, miraculously continue to use us. He mightily used Paul. But 2,000 years has not changed the might of God, and He wants to miraculously use us as well. Amen? How true that is. Today, believer, will you surrender to your commission to carry the good news to the world? And today, if you are here and you have never accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, let me give you a word of warning and let me give you a word of invitation. Don't rustle around. This one person needs to hear this. And that person may be right here in this sanctuary, this very moment. That person might be listening to this sermon somewhere later down the road on an iPod or on our website. If you leave this earth without Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Bible assures us that hell will be waiting for you. I can't sugarcoat that. I can't lessen it. I'm saying to you, that is exactly what the Bible, the infallible Word of God, says. If you leave this earth without Christ as your Savior, hell is waiting on you. But I'm not trying to push you into heaven with fear, but I want to pull you out of hell with the truth. And the truth is this: if you will confess with your lips Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Romans 10:9. It's from the book. Without Christ, hell is waiting for every person. But there's an invitation that needs to be given to every single person around the world. Jesus Christ went to a cross and shed his blood to forgive you. And he rose from the grave to give you an eternal home. And all you need to do is say, Lord, I believe that. I believe it with my mind and I believe it from my heart. I give you my life. I surrender to you. I ask you to be my Savior. If you've never done that, today is the day. Don't put it off. Today is that day to surrender to him. Church, will we surrender to take that good news into the world? And the Lord will miraculously use us as his ministry. Church home, whatever you need, he meets us in this moment. Let's pray together. Our Father, our God, thank you for these precious words that come to us through Paul. You inspired them. You gave him this message, Lord, that he put on papyrus to send to Colossae. Thank you for the ministry of the church, Lord. It's a mystery in the Old Testament, but we understand that this is the creation, a living organism of Jesus Christ, that we're to be his outreach arm and his feet and his words that go to the world and share a gospel of a Savior who loves us and gave himself that we might live. I pray, Father, that you will help us as a church to remember that we have a ministry of warning and a ministry of sweet invitation. I pray, Father, we will fulfill your ministry so that one day when Clifford Baptist Church, or the church represented listening to this sermon, when that church meets you, Lord, we will bring with us a harvest of souls. That's why we're here. Help each one of us follow your commission, your ministry, your calling, however you call us to do that. And join us and link us together as a church that we will complete that ministry to your glory. Bless that one who needs Christ as Savior today, Father. I don't want to scare him or her out of hell. I want to draw them with the truth to a Savior who loves them and who wants them to have life everlasting. Bless us in this very precious moment of decision, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Clifford Baptist Church invites you to join us for worship every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. For more information about our church, please call our church office at 434-946-0555.